is 2016 with Richard Kingsmill on Triple J.
Okay, this evening on 2016, I'd like to... Well, actually, we've been playing your music for so long, but I've never actually met you. It's nice to meet you, Matt Corby.
It was strange meeting you in the lobby, actually, because I don't even know what you look like. So it was like, hi, I'm Richard. I was like, oh, well, there you go.
There you go. Gee, I imagine someone completely different.
Yeah.
Well, I've had the reverse. I've seen lots of photos of you, so I knew exactly who you were. Anyway, it's nice to meet you. Congratulations on this record.
Thanks.
I'm one of the lucky people who have heard it all the way through. I've been listening to it quite a few times. It's coming out at the end of the week. It's been such a struggle getting this debut album done, but now that it is done, now that it's finished and you listen back to it, what do you think?
I feel pretty good. I think... it was as good as I could have done. We listened, me and the band, we listened to the first pressing of the vinyl the other day when everyone, because we've been rehearsing for the tours coming up, and it was pretty surreal listening to it for the, you know, because it's your first full-length thing, and it's like, oh, I've worked for a lot of years just to get to this point, and that all kind of comes flooding back when you hear it. But I think that's a good thing because, you know, I've sat in that situation before and listened to a bunch of songs and just gone, this is not good. Mm. So I didn't have that feeling this time. I was like, cool, well, I'm done with it now. Like, it's for people, not for me to listen to again almost, which is good. I spent the last 6 months listening to it.
Yeah.
On repeat.
Did it sound better on vinyl when you got the vinyl?
There was something special in my soul happening when it was spinning and, you know, and the sounds are coming out that me and the guys had helped to make, and it was pretty cool.
Can you, in one sentence, can you tell us why it's taken so long for a debut album?
It's a tough one because it's a more psychological thing. I struggle to put myself out there a lot, even though that's what you have to do this. And even I'm probably quite a private person as well, so it's even weirder that I make music that's quite exposing. But I think for that reason, I would want it to be as good as I could do, or else, it just doesn't seem worth putting your name to.
So would you describe yourself as a perfectionist?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I'm either really dedicated to making something good, or I'm really dedicated to not making myself look like a fool or something, which I do all the time, so that doesn't work. But
so if you listen back to some of these EPs that you've been releasing over all this time, do you listen back and cringe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a few things that I'll definitely... Well, obviously, you can't do anything different. And that's what music is for most people that write it. It's just marking a moment in time, celebrating that moment of where they were at emotionally and musically, all of the above.
And in the last 5 years as Matt Corby, do you feel like you've been evolving so fast that every time you've recorded something, you've felt like you've moved on from that point and that's why you've never wanted to release it?
Yeah, I do that a lot. And I do it quite quickly as well because I'll be really excited about one thing. I'll be like, yeah, this is really great, this is really great. And then 5 days later, I would have ventured down some other path and listened to the old thing and gone, oh no, that's no good anymore. What do I do now?
But that must frustrate the hell out of the people who you work with.
Yeah, I think it does. But I mean, they can make it if they want.
Well, you're the artist. It's got to come out of your mouth and out of your hands as well. Now, knowing a little bit about the making of this record, you pretty much at one point recorded a bunch of stuff. But you thought the only way that you could get out what was in your head was by physically doing it yourself. So you then had to start from scratch with a lot of different instruments and learn a whole lot of things from the ground up. Mm. So what was that process like? Before that point in time, was guitar really the only thing you knew how to play?
Guitar and piano. I mean, that was it. And then I bought a drum kit and I didn't even buy a bass. I just borrowed people's basses. And I just wanted to get to a point where I could groove with myself on each instrument, so I didn't really use any electronic elements or anything. I wanted to be able to even just get my playing to the level where it did sound like just a real drummer playing in a session. Like, now I'm probably at a level where I have my independence and, you know, I can put down those beats, like Soothe Lady and Oh actually.
Which is a song we're about to hear. Which we'll get to in a moment. But Soothe Lady, that's you drumming on the recording?
Right. And same with
And on Soothe Lady Wine, let's take that as an example because that's one of the tracks from the record that everyone's kind of heard so far. Mm. So you're playing drums on that, obviously guitar, you're singing, are you doing everything else on that?
Playing the bass, The only thing I didn't play was some of the key lines, which is just kind of following the riff. Jack, my keys player, he just jumped in on a clav and on an organ and sort of backed up some stuff. But that song's actually pretty simple. There's not a lot of instrumentation on it. It's just everything's doing a lot.
The end result of that then, is that the sort of sound that you heard in your head that you were hoping to achieve by going back to scratch and learning all the instruments and playing them yourself?
I think so, yeah. I think I'm getting really close to it. Like, definitely this record was the first sign of hope that I could accomplish it. And that was a big deal for me because I didn't know if it was possible for me to make a moving, sort of living, breathing song that worked for other people. And not just me, because like, I would hear like me playing everything in my head and be like, oh, I'm playing everything, like, how good's this? And some people would just be like, oh, it's not working though.
You got none of that back from anyone though?
I'm glad I haven't yet, yeah. Which is cool. So.
I'd be surprised if anyone said it, because listening to it, I mean, I don't know how much of the record is actually you playing, because I know you got other people in to kind of do your parts.
Yeah.
But give us a percentage of all the tracks, the 11 tracks on the record, how much of it is Matt Corby?
I'm definitely playing bass on everything. I'm probably playing drums on maybe at least half the record. It's funny because most of the parts were recorded in Berry initially, and that was all played by me. So through the record you'll hear moments spliced in from Berry and then moments of like all of us recording at Sing Sing. And it might be like the verse of one song will be entirely me, just bass, drums and guitar and maybe piano, and then the whole band breaks out in the chorus as some unified thing, which is, and they're trying to take over the parts that I played in the chorus, but probably not as well, and that was why we're superimposing it on top. And so we were laughing about it when we were listening to that vinyl, because there's just so much mess from so many different times all to make the song work.
Once again, you're hearing something different to what I've heard, because I can't hear
that's
that
good.
Sort of I can't hear that really big change and think, oh, that sounds like it's spliced from somewhere else, but you're hearing it differently. Listen, let's play a track. We just talked about it a little bit. OOO is a great track, comes sort of in the first half of the record. The new album from Matt Corby is called Telluric.
Yeah, Telluric. Yeah.
Telluric.
It's a lyric.
It's a bit of a tongue twister.
Yeah.
We'll get to the album's title in just a moment, but let's hear this track. This is OOO, new music from Matt Corby on Triple J. So with that track, the first thing I thought about was brother, just because of the chanting of the voice. Sort of had that.
No.
Well, no. It's like that was a good comparison, I thought. Just the way that you kind of do that. It's almost like an owl.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bird call sound which you make with your voice. Was that always the intention of that song, or did you think that you could put some lyrics in place of it and then just left that sort of chanting OOO sound?
Yeah, I didn't really know. This song's funny. It was a bit of a creeper for us because it was a jam that came out really quickly, and that melodic line was probably the thing that drove it at the start, just the O's. And
they work.
I'm
not suggesting you should have replaced them. They work totally fine.
I did. There are sort of there's that slack-jawed kind of, it sort of flops over a beat, sort of spoken word thing in the chorus that goes under it. And I think originally I tried to put that in place of the and it just sounded ridiculous.
Is the song essentially about a relationship going wrong?
Yeah, pretty much. It's just like, I don't know, it's just the fear and anxiety and then the introspection that sort of happens after you and whoever you're trying to communicate with have failed to communicate whatever it is you once could, or, you know, it's one of those breakdown of everything yourself.
Are these the elements of Matt Corby's life which you then have to sort of do that hurdle over to put out into the public sphere, because they are so personal and they're sort of very introspective type songs?
Maybe. I think so. I think it's more, I don't want to alienate anyone that I know or anyone that I care about. And obviously you can't draw inspiration from anything other than what you're experiencing. Oh, and your imagination, obviously, that other thing. But in order to anchor some creative idea, it does help for it to be something that has happened to you or something that you can at least empathize with. So I think that's the thing I worry about, just trying to draw that line between trying to make a piece of music but not exploit anyone, or
where you feel like you're, well, not just burning bridges with that person, but almost using them.
Yeah, that's right.
Unfairly.
For a story,
yeah, and it's your story.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily their story,
right.
So they don't get the right to reply.
Exactly.
Unless they go to the gossip magazines.
Yeah.
And then they can throw all sorts of shit at Matt Corby.
Yeah.
Anyway, Matt Corby is with us on Triple J. Telluric is the name of his debut album, which is out at the end of the week. I think I said it right that time.
It
basically means of the earth, but where did you come across that word and why is it the title of the record?
I was struggling to find a word that kind of summed up how this album should feel. And I was, I remember it was pretty cold. It was winter and I was just sitting by my little fireplace with my partner, and she mentioned the word to me initially, and I was like, what does that mean?
Did she read it somewhere, or she just knew it?
Well, her and her friend, who they're talented potters, artists, they really enjoyed that concept. I think they're going to make an exhibition out of that concept as well, which is really cool. So I actually stole the idea from them. I think they felt a little bit bad about it after it took on this form, which I did too, because it is a word, but it's a borrowed concept in a way from her or from those two. So, but I did ask them. I was like, "Is this okay? You know, can we? You know, can I do this?" And they seemed pretty cool. You know,
are they still going to go ahead with their idea of having an exhibition?
I hope so. Yeah, for sure.
Well, they've got the soundtrack now.
Yeah. There you go. I can go and play it all for them whilst it's happening.
And so that sort of connected with you as well. Just that sort of feeling of the earth and something almost spiritual about it.
Yeah, I mean the fact that. There was one translation that I read which just said terrestrial, and I was like, oh, that's nice, like, because that's, we all are terrestrial. We're all bound to this planet. We've grown out of this planet's intelligence, and that's a special thing that, you know, a lot of people forget because they divide and separate themselves and go and do their own things and have all these big ideas about who they are and what society is. And, you know, so it's nice just to go. I mean, I live in a very lovely green part of the world where I see more plant life and bird life than people, and it does something really good to me where I think it's quite grounding, and you just realize where you're from in a way, and I don't know, it just helps you put all your problems in perspective, because like that spider doesn't give a shit, you know what I mean? Like, I was thinking about that the other day. I was having a down moment about all this stuff because sometimes the pressure can get to you, and I was just like sitting in this little chair in the middle of my house and just looked at this little black house spider, and I was going crazy at this point. I was just like, you don't give a shit, do you, man? Like, talking to this spider, obviously he didn't respond, but like just that whole, of course, like this doesn't, you know, this is nothing, you know, we're just here and then we're gone, and nothing's as big a deal as you think it is.
So the only thing is the impact that you have on the things around you, which is what you got to be conscious of.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, that you don't squash that spider. That you don't, for, you know, just for fun, sort of wreck its life.
Yeah.
Just because it's smaller than us.
Yeah.
Let's go out with another track in full. This one is really great as well. It actually follows on from 000 in the sequence on the record. It's a track called Wrong Man. Can I have a stab to suggest that this might have been inspired by the experience in the States when you were trying to make a record and you had people pulling on you to kind of be different, like different artists to who you really wanted to be?
Yeah.
Was that kind of the inspiration for this?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's more a generalization though, because I think at every stage in anyone's life, you have that moment of like, I am not your man for this job right now. Like, as much as I want to be, or as much as I think I can, I don't know if I actually have the capacity to be what you expect of me or what you want. And that's a pretty normal thing to go through. And I think it's also, yeah, you're right. It's reflective of some sort of system that is pressing you to maybe subside or agree or...
But isn't it a relief knowing that you've known all of this ahead of time and been able to say no?
I think so. Yeah, I follow my gut a lot, and sometimes my gut defies what emotionally or logically is going on in my brain. But it seems to work. I know that there's brain tissue in your gut, so you can you have electrical impulses there that are like guiding you through life. It's just I've always had moments that there needs to be a big decision made, and it's because this stupid thing in my
they talk about the knot in the stomach when you're kind of getting anxious about something. You get a headache if you're overthinking. It's the headache version of in the stomach.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've had maybe four or five major moments like that in my life. And I think the first one was post Idol, when there was that whole, you know, you're obligated to sign a contract, and I was like, I can't do it. how do we get out of this?
Well, you were what, 16 at that point?
Just turned 17.
Yeah.
Yeah. And most people at that table, when I said that, they just hands in their heads. Just you look like, what are we doing here? This kid has no idea.
Stupid teenager.
Yeah, exactly.
I bet you they called you.
Yeah.
And 100%. They probably thought you were burning so many bridges or just ending.
They definitely did. I mean, my parents even did. It was one of those moments where I was really out on my own, and everyone was like, what? You're throwing away your future. But I mean, luckily, being the one that makes the decision, you're also the one that can put that decision in context later and go, well, I had to do it this way or else I wouldn't have had anything. No one would have given a shit at all, you know. And it's a weird thing to come back from, you know.
Well, look, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Five fantastic EPs, a great debut album coming out this week, a couple of ARIA awards. You kind of look back and you kind of go, well, you know, I think I made the right decision.
Maybe.
Don't doubt yourself, Matt. Yeah. Let's go out with it. This is terrific. This is Wrong Man, another track from the new album by Matt Corby. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for sharing this music with us for the first time. And good luck for the rest of this year.
No worries. Thanks, Richard.
You know you're talking to the wrong man, my friend. I was on the fence, wasting time in future tense, and all I came here for was finding love to help me understand my own. It's undefendable, and now you wanna tell me you're tell me what I